Hey, good morning, church. Feel like you worshiped? Yeah, that's good. Hey, before I get rolling, one quick thing. I've got to make sure that everyone understands that for kids especially, and those of you who are kids at heart, Miss Lori has a scavenger hunt afterwards. So you can meet her out in the lobby and run around like crazy. No, don't do that. No, you can do the scavenger hunt with her. She'll meet you out there and we'll have a good time. So I know I'm planning on participating, so it should be good. Turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 24. We need to read the story, don't we? We need to understand exactly why we are here and what we are celebrating. And so let's fully grasp this. This is Dr. Luke taking eyewitnesses' accounts and putting it together for us. This is Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse number 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine? While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Best question ever. Why do you search for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." And then this beautiful little line, "Remember? Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Church, people still think it's nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord, and we believe it. Our Lent series was in the New Testament book called James. And one of the things that we learned, one of the things that I learned, is that wise speech is plain speech. Because as human beings, we tend to overcomplicate things a little bit. Would you agree with that? I mean, for crying out loud, we can't even define what a woman is. We overcomplicate stuff. And so we want to try to speak plainly so that we can speak some wisdom, and especially when it comes to things like what we believe to be true might sound like nonsense to people, and so we'll have this tendency to try to overcomplicate it. But on the other hand, when you have something like the resurrection, it's a huge event with massive implications. And when I mean massive implications, it's not just like, oh my gosh, look at this. It's on a cosmic level. Like all of reality has changed because Jesus is alive. That the tomb is, by the way, still empty, if you didn't know that. And so the risk, I think, is to overcomplicate, but then there's also this risk of oversimplifying. In either way, to overcomplicate or oversimplify, we run the risk of it all losing some meaning. It's kind of a tough spot to be in when you're a preacher and you got to do this every year. Because you don't want to go to one side or go to the other. But at the very minimum, if we boiled it all down, the very least thing that we could understand, that an empty tomb means that Jesus overcame death and humans can spend eternity with God. How many of you have heard this message before? That on Easter Sunday, this thing that we celebrate means that our futures have changed.
death is overcome and we can spend eternity to God. And to that, I say, yes, amen, hallelujah. And what are you waiting for, Lord? Because it's a mess down here. I remember my grandparents, on occasion, I was young and I didn't fully understand this, but my parents helped me grab hold of this, but my grandparents often wondered about their salvation and specifically how they might lose it. This idea that they may not go to heaven because something they did would cause them to fall out of favor. And I remember particularly my grandfather wrestling with that. I don't think I understood then, but I do now. And yet, at the same time, I have to say that struggle that generation seemed to have does not seem to be a concern these days, at least not in the circles that I'm usually a part of. I mean, we believe in Jesus, and we're assured of heaven as God's Spirit testifies to our spirit that we're children of God, which means you have to stay in relationship with God in order for His Spirit to testify to your spirit. But it doesn't seem to me that we wrestle a lot with this idea of eternity. Now, I think perhaps some of it has to do with, well, I can speculate, but it has to do with the fact that heaven has always been considered this place of great wealth, you know, streets paved with gold. And yet here we are in, you know, the city of Tulsa, Oklahoma, announces a $10 million road project. We got streets paved with gold. And so I'm not necessarily sure that we have the same understanding as generations previous to us. I don't know. But it's an interesting thing to kind of think about because we don't really think about that idea of heaven so much. And I think what occupies our attention mostly, at least people that I talk to, wrestling in my own heart, it's not so much about heaven, but it's about getting out of bed on Monday morning. I mean, there's circumstances and people you gotta deal with. And of course, there's always the person in the mirror that you have to deal with. You know, every person that I know, they all carry some very similar things. They carry past pain, baggage from previous relationships. Some people carry physical pain, illness, sickness. And from time to time, we all carry a little bit of uncertainty, disappointment, and maybe even betrayal. And so we have this stuff that just kind of floats around in our head and it pops up from time to time. And there's a term now, it's called triggers. I swear, everybody's got a trigger. And the truth is, we do. Because it's part of the human condition. It's part of living in a fallen and broken world that nobody gets out unscathed. And so what do we do about it, though? Because that's the real question is like, okay, I admit, David, I see that too. I have friends. I have family members. They're all a little bit messed up, and we can all agree to that. But what do we do about it? And the thing that we often turn to are things that aren't the healthiest, right? I mean, we tend to medicate. We distract ourselves. You know, you got some stuff you're supposed to do, but it's like, hey, let's see what's on YouTube, right? And we jockey for social position, and sometimes we engage in a little retail therapy. Or we numb how we're feeling. And it can be so subtle, but it also can be blatantly obvious when we know what we're doing is not an effective coping mechanism. And if I'm completely honest with myself, I don't know about you, but every time I find myself engaging in those kinds of things, I realize I am searching for the living among the dead. And I think what happens is that the powers of darkness have a field day because we forget who we are. We have no sense of what our identity is. And secondly, we forgot the power of the resurrection, the whole reason why we celebrate. And so I thought that maybe today we might try to fix that. Today seems like a very good day to take back what hell has stolen. Because we do have this enemy. I mean, sometimes the enemy is myself, and the biblical writers, they called it the flesh. And sometimes your flesh will make you do things you just didn't want to do. And I'm sorry, folks, but there's donuts out there. And sometimes my flesh really wants to eat the whole bloody thing, right? I want to eat all those donuts. In fact, I was thinking about it while you were all in here worshiping with Dan. I was out there by myself with the donuts. They're still there. You're okay. I saved you some, all right? And it's a silly example, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. We have this fleshly desire, all of us do. But that's not the only part of it, because there's also these forces that are arrayed against us. And they love to mess with your flesh. And they manipulate it, and they poke it, and they prod it. And the next thing you know, you've gone down this path, and you're wondering, how did I get here? We do have an enemy. But if the resurrection teaches us nothing, it's that the enemy is defeated. The war is won, even though we still fight some of the battles. In the strange vision that is the book of Revelation, I can read this to you. Don't worry about turning there. There's this scene that happens. It's in the 12th chapter. I want to read just a part of it. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with them. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them." It's an odd vision, and it takes an awful lot to try to sort through some of the things that we read in the book of Revelation, but the one thing that I can say is that there are two weapons that we have at our disposal, and one is the blood of the Lamb, and the second is the word of our testimony. And I think it's an important thing that we think about those, because your enemy is real, and we celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive, that the war is over, but there's these battles that we have to fight, and victory here is prophesied as well as a way forward. And so I want to talk about these two things just in brief, because I think they're so important, because it helps us realign ourselves with what God has in mind for us on a daily basis, not just theoretical, but very practically. And so in 1 John, there's this interesting passage that I think illuminates this for us. First John, this should be verse 3 of the first chapter. Let's see if we can find it here. Take that back. It's verse 2. Or chapter 2. "We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Okay, we got that. We got this idea of love. Figure out where we're going to pick this up again. I have like 15 things I want to say. But he goes on and he talks about the fact that we have to confess our sins one to another and be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I mean, Dan just read it in the one in Hebrews, is that we can actually boldly go before the throne because of the blood of Jesus. We have this whole idea that the blood actually means something. And then in Ephesians, we have this other thing that you have to see this. This is so important. I want to read this too. Ephesians 1, beginning with verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will to the praise of his glorious grace. Remember, one of the things about Paul is you got to sift through all of the praise stuff in order to get down to the meat. But the thing that I want you to understand here is he's talking about adoption. You're being adopted as sons and daughters. That's who you are. It's not your problems or your medication that identifies you. It's the fact that you're sons and daughters. And that is the word of your testimony. You are testifying to the fact that you are a daughter or son of God, and I think we forget that over and over again. And so one of the things that I want to make sure that we do today, because it's really important, is for us to declare out loud that we are sons and daughters. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to say it together. Some of you are going to say sons, some of you are going to say daughters, okay? So it might sound a little muddled, or it might sound like the teacher on Charlie Brown, but that's okay, because God hears it all individually. He's good at this. And so I want you to say it with me. I'm going to say it. It's going to say, I am a son of God. And you say, I am a son or daughter of God. Okay, ready? I am a son of God. That's the word of your testimony. And so we've just declared this out loud. And we have stated this very fact. This is who you are. This is your identity. And we say it to dark powers. I'm his. Take your issues up with him, not with me. When you make that declaration, you put yourself under that particular authority, and you might be surprised how much your heavenly Father can take care of some of those issues. Remember, James also told us that if we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he must flee. So the dark powers must flee. It's your identity. It's who you are. And so you submit to that first. And the other thing that we probably need to do is leverage this idea of the blood of Christ. And there's this ancient ritual that Jesus gave us. And here we do it about once a month. And one of the things I really love about the way we do communion here at Thrive is that I've watched couples and families kind of go off to the side and they take communion together. And I don't know what they say to one another. I don't know what they pray together. And I just love it. I love watching it. Because everybody comes down, they pick up the elements, and they either take them right there or they go back to their seat and we want it to be meaningful for every individual person and family, and I love watching it. But today I thought maybe we might take it together because you're my church family, and we'll do it all at once. And so Scott and Dwayne, if you want to grab the elements, here's what we're going to do. We're going to actually pass them out to you. I don't know if we've ever done this at Thrive. It's been a long time since I've seen these kind of plates before. If you grew up in the church, you might have seen them, and you can say, yep, we're going old school. So we're going to go old school today. And so we're going to pass out the elements, and worship team's going to come, and we're going to sing a little bit more here in a moment. But I want us to take this together. At Thrive, we have what's called an open table. That means if you're a follower of Jesus, this is for you. This ancient ritual connects us to history. But it also connects us to our brothers and sisters around the world. And so we do this simple thing, and the elements are simple themselves. Body and blood. And so when we take it, we're going to make some declarations as we do it. You've already said out loud, you have testified to the fact that you're a daughter or son of the Most High God. And now we're going to talk about the blood of the Lamb. I want you to understand when you pick these up, these elements are weapons. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God for the tearing down of strongholds. This is what he gave us. The weapons of our warfare are the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So take each of the elements and hold them. We're going to take them together in just a moment. And one of the things that I want to make sure that you do is as you're taking these elements, I want you to think to yourself about being washed in the blood. It's not a gross thing. You're being washed in the most powerful detergent ever. I want you to experience that. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If you can imagine this, it's almost like whatever the blood of the Lamb covers, the enemy has to release because he cannot hang on to it. Has to release. And so when you take the elements, I want you to think about these things. In his last supper before his crucifixion, Jesus was with his disciples. And I can't imagine what this would be like, but He's sitting at the table, and they've had this dinner before. And so there was nothing new on the table, and he took this just bread. And after he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he passed it to his disciples. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Every time you take this, I want you to remember me." So Thrive, my brothers and sisters, this is the body broken for you. And by his wounds, you are healed. And again, after the supper, he takes this cup. They've seen the cup before. And after he'd given it thanks, he passed it to each one of his disciples and said, "Take and drink. This is the new covenant in my blood." Now that had to have been strange to hear. And they didn't understand it. And so, Thrive Church, my brothers and sisters, I declare to you that through his blood, you are clean. God, we celebrate the fact that you are alive and you are well and you are active and you are holy and you are good. And I can imagine in a group this size that different things are going through people's minds. They might be thinking about what's for dinner or all the people that are coming over or whatever it happens to be, but in the back of their mind, they're saying, oh man, I need to be clean. God, I need to be healed. And you have just told us who we are. We're your sons and daughters because we believe that you're alive and we put our trust in you. And so when we declare that to the forces of darkness, we have aligned ourselves with you and come under your covering and under your protection, and we trust you with that. And the blood of Jesus Christ makes us clean before you, which means that we can enter the Holy of Holies. We can actually be in your presence. And the weird thing is, you want to be in our presence. And so, God, I pray through your Holy Spirit that you might speak to people today in the way that they need to hear. I don't know what they need, but I trust that you do. That your spirit would testify to their spirit that they are your child. And they can have assurance, not just of eternity, but a Monday morning. And anything that they struggle with are things that are on your heart too, and you care about each and every one of those. And that they would just find that place where they can say, oh God, I don't understand how this works, but I'm going to trust you through it. God, we celebrate the resurrection not just for its cosmic implications, but the reality of our feet hitting the floor every single morning. You care about it all. And you choose to make us partners. I don't know why you do that, but I'm glad you do. And I don't want to miss anything that your kingdom has in mind. So as we sing, I pray, Lord, you would just wash over us. Now on this day, this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday in 2024, and of all of the craziness that seems to be going on in the world and our individual lives, that you would meet us right where we are, that you would speak to us in the way that we need to hear. So we know and understand just how much you love us. You took the worst of humanity, absorbed it, and redeemed it. And us along with you. I can't thank you enough. I submit to you, O God, as clean people identifying as sons and daughters. And thank you for this mercy and thank you for this favor that you've given us. In the strong and risen name of our Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.